Thank you, Dan. Well, it is a true joy in the Lord to be with you this morning. If you'd be so kind to take out your Bible and turn your Bible to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Now, the best way to locate the book of Jonah is to go to the last book of the Old Testament and then go over 8 books to your left, and then you will arrive to the book of Jonah. If you get to the book of Daniel, you went just a little bit too far. Please join me in prayer. Father, as your word is open, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would please open up our hearts, Father. We thank you that your word is alive, it's active, and we just pray, Lord, that the seed of your word would fall upon the soil of our heart, Lord, and Lord, that you would water it, Father, for our heart's desire is to bear fruit for your honor, for your glory, and we know that fruit is always for other people. And so, Father, we want to bless others, Father, as you will be blessing us as we get into your word, Father. Lord, our passion is to be men of God, men after your heart, sold out for Jesus, because we are eternally grateful for all that Jesus has done for us. And as a result of that, we want to live publicly and openly for him, even as he lived openly for us and died openly for us. We want to live openly for him. So, Father, in order for us to be men of God, Lord, we need to be in the Word of God. So I just thank you, Father, that we are here, that we have an ear to hear what your Spirit would say to us, Father. And, Lord, we want to become doers of your Word, not only hearers of your Word, Lord. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would instruct us, you would encourage us, Father. Father, and that your will be done in our life. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to be sharing about how to be a man of God. How to be a man of God. For I know and would assume that is your heart. And that's why you woke up early this morning. You cruised out here to be in the Word of God because you want to be a man after God's own heart. Even like it was said of David. David was a man after God's own heart. And let me ask you this question. Do you want to be a man after the heart of God? If so, it takes characteristics. It takes earmarks. And we're going to be learning today through the life of Jonah, through only chapter 1. We're going to learn 10 marks or 10 earmarks to become a godly man. 10 marks in order to become a godly man. Before we get into the study, I want to share with you a story that I read. The story is about the father that had a young boy. And the young boy would ask his dad and say, "Daddy, I really want a puppy. Really, really want a puppy, Daddy." And so the dad would say, "Son, when you turn 7 years old, that will be the day we'll go out and search for a puppy for you." So the night before, when he was 6 and he's about to turn 7 years old, he just couldn't sleep that night. He got up first thing in the morning, he ran to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm 7 years old today. This is the day that I get to get a puppy." And so the dad did some research a few nights before and located nearby a home where a dog had little puppies. So they got in the car, they drove over to this home, they knocked on the door, the person walked into the backyard, he whistled, and as soon as he whistled, all the dogs started to run out of that big dog house. And then something interesting took place. There was 9 dogs that ran out of the dog house. But there was one that kind of took its time, slowly but surely made his way to the front of the owner of the dog. But this dog had a little limp to it. You see, it was born with a leg that needed to have a bar attached to his leg. And as soon as the boy saw that dog, he started saying, "Dad, Dad, that's the dog. That's the one that I want." And then the owner of the dog said, "Son, I don't think you really want that dog. You see, the dog has a brace on his leg." Then the boy said, "Mister," as he pulled down, he says, "Look down." He pulled up his sweatpants by his leg and he says, "I also have a brace on my leg. I will understand that dog. I know what that dog will go through because I have a brace in my leg. You know, I believe that God wants us to identify with people and just say, once upon a time, I used to be this way. Once upon a time, I used to walk with a limp. But God did a work in my life. He molded me. He shaped me to become a man of God. And if God can do it for me, God can certainly do it for you. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. And I'm one that have drunken in the living water, and I encourage you to do so. And I pray that it be your heart, that you want to be a man of God so you can bless other people. So we're going to look at the life of Jonah, and we're going to learn to be a man of God through his life in chapter 1. So we're going to read verses 1 through 3. We'll look at those verses. Then we'll pick up at verses 4. We'll study verses 4 through 9. And then we'll conclude with verses 10 through 17. So notice with me verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness have come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So notice in verse 1, we are introduced to this man named Jonah. Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, I like to highlight, you may want to circle the name Jonah and write down dove. The word Jonah means dove. Secondly, we are informed that he is a son of Amittai. You may want to circle the word Amittai and write down truth. Amittai means truth. So Jonah was called by God to be led by God so he could share the truth with other people. And that's the first earmark that I learned about Jonah to be a man of God. The first mark to be a man of God is that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. You see, once you were blessed to enter into salvation, Jesus drew you to himself. His kindness stormed the floodgates of your heart when it was hard, it was hurting, and it was mad at this world. And God just said, "My son, I love you. You are the apple of my eye. You are the delight of my heart." And he stormed the floodgates of your heart, and he won you over with his unconditional love. Then he placed the Spirit inside of you. Now we are called to be men that are led by the Spirit of God, baptized in the Spirit of God. The first characteristic to be a man of God is to be a spiritual man of God, to be led by the Spirit. So either you are led by the flesh in a life of disobedience, which leads to a life of destruction, or you are led by God, which is a blessed life and a life that is at peace with the living God, and that you walk in step with the Spirit of God now. The second characteristic to be a man of God after God's own heart is to be a person of truth. Is to be a person of truth. Now, why should we be a person of truth? Maybe once upon a time that you had to kind of cut the corners and you got to just make things happen, and truth was not really a characteristic of your life. Well, we become men of truth because we serve a Savior that's a man of truth. Jesus is the way, and he is what? Life and truth, right? Jesus is the man of truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Because our Savior is the man of truth, he helps us to be men of truth. No more exaggeration. No more lying. We're just truthful. Why? Because we serve a man of truth, the God of truth. And so let's be people of truth. And we share the truth. Why? Because the truth sets people free and they could be out of bondage because of the truth. John chapter 8 verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth." See, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Notice now in verse 2 that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh with the purpose to cry out against it. We see that in verse 2. God told Jonah, "Jonah, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness have come up before me." So, we see the third mark to be a man of God. The third mark to be a man of God is to be obedient to the Word of God. To be obedient to the Word of God. God said, "Jonah, hey Jonah, yes, I want you to arise and I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh." and cry out against it. So be obedient to me. So the third mark of a man of God is to be obedient. And when we love the Lord and obey Him, called to obey Him because we love the Lord. We're called to love the Lord and we're called to obey Him. Now, the way to love the Lord is to first learn about the Lord. You can't love someone you really don't know, right? So it's important to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that's why we as men of God need to be in the Word of God so we can learn more about God, to love God with our mind, and then it's natural to love God with our heart. Because we learn about His kindness, we learn about His grace, we learn that He will go and touch a leper that no one wants to associate with. So you learn about the Lord that will come up to a child and scoop up a child. And you learn about the Lord that will go out and reach someone that's demon-possessed. You learn about Him and you're like, well, Lord, You are a man of loving kindness, and I just learn about You. And as I learn about You, I can't help but just to love You. And as I learn and love You, I just want now just to serve You and to obey You. You see, we read the Word because we love the person that spoke the Word. It's just like a father and a son relationship. Hopefully the son will love the words that proceed out of the father. You love the Father, and therefore we love the words. And same thing with our Lord. We love the Lord, therefore we love His words. And even if we don't want to be obedient to it, we do it anyways out of respect, out of love for Him. And so we are called to keep His commandments. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love Me, you will keep My words or keep My commandments. So what happened is, as God saw the wickedness in the people there in Nineveh, God said, it's time. It's time. There's a warning that I'm going to reach those people because God's a holy God and He does not like wickedness to take place whatsoever. In this verse, in verse 2, it says that the wickedness has come up before the Lord. That gives us insight that the Lord does see the wickedness. There's some times where you interact with people and you're like, Lord, do you know how wicked that they are? I think I work for the devil. Lord, they're my co-worker. Oh, rest assured, the Lord does see wickedness. And the Lord does see it. And vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us. So we could put our boxing gloves to the corner and the Lord will take care of His business. Why? Because you are the Son of God. And no father wants to see his son being met with. God does see the wickedness. And also too, let me share this with you, and please don't get mad at me, and if you're wearing sandals, don't throw your chocolate at me right now. God does see the wickedness in our hearts too. And we're called to say, Lord, here it is, Lord. And mold me and shape me, Lord. I don't want to be a wicked man, Lord. Lord, I'm better than that, Lord. My family deserves better than that. I'm put into a place where the Lord is molding me and is shaping me. So when I come home, I'm going to be a better man. Not only a better man, but a godly man. A man after His own heart. And I'm going to be a great father and a great grandfather and a great son to others. So God does see wickedness, and may we not willfully commit wickedness, because the Lord does see it. We're not fooling anyone. We will just be fooling ourselves. So God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, and let's see in verse 3 where Jonah heads to. Verse 3 says, so Jonah, he arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Like, wait a minute. Didn't God say, Jonah? Yes. And Jonah arose. And didn't God say, hey, Jonah, I wanted you to go to Nineveh. What's up with this verse in verse 3 that says, homie Jonah went to Tarshish, to Joppa? God didn't say to go to Joppa, to go to Tarshish. God said to go to Nineveh. So Jonah arose and he went to Tarshish. Now the question has to be asked, why didn't Jonah go to Nineveh when God says specifically, Jonah go to Nineveh? Well, you see, Nineveh was a place, it was a nation, it was a people group, that they were hard people. They exercised cruelty. They were bad dudes. They were homies. And Jonah didn't like them at all. And we know, according to the prophet Nahum, in Nahum chapter 3, verse 1, it says about the people in Nineveh, Nahum says, "Woe to the city of the blood." In Nahum chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Woe to the city of the blood." That's the city of the Ninevites. They're full of lies, and they're never without victims. They take advantage of people. Nahum chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Everyone who hears the news about the Ninevites, they clap their hands when they fall because they have felt their endless cruelty." So Jonah did not like the people there in Nineveh. And he didn't want to go there because Jonah knew God. He knew God was a God of grace. He knew God was a God of love. And he's all like, "God, I know what you're going to do, God. I know who you are. You're God of mercy, you're God of love, you're God of kindness, and I don't want to be that vessel that you would use to reach out to them." Notice chapter 4, verse 2, that speaks about how Jonah knew God and his ways. And may God's ways, by the way, become our ways. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 says, "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" So Jonah said, I knew it, God. I knew you would do this. So this is chapter 4 now, and what happened is God reached the people of Nineveh. And Jonah knew the heart of God. May you know the heart of God. If someone will come up to you, say after studying that you're just walking down the road and you're just minding your own business, drinking a latte, you're being all cool. And someone says, "Hey, I saw you in this cafe and you have a Bible in your hand. You know what? Can you tell me about God?" You know what we share then? We share Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. This is who God is. I have discovered that a lot of people have the wrong perspective and information about our Father. What would you do if someone came to you and just say, "You know, hey, your dad this and that, your dad that." And oftentimes they would say, "You know, that's not my dad. Let me tell you about my dad." And I just believe that there's a lot of people that have a wrong perspective about our Father. And who our Father is. You know who our Father is? He's full of kindness. He's full of grace. He's full of love. And may we respect our Father and follow in His ways. That's who our Father is. He's a good, good God, isn't He? There's a worship song that speaks about that a lot of people have different views about God is, but who is He? He's a good God. And by the way, don't let the enemy try to lie to you that He's not a good God, that He's not for you. He is for you and He loves you so much. So, that's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He knew that God would be merciful to them. And before we throw our rocks at Jonah, it's like, "Dude, Jonah, that's cold, dude. God wanted you to go and speak to the Ninevites and He loves them." But Jonah just didn't like them. I wonder in our hearts, is there a group of people that we have a hard heart towards that we don't like? Maybe it's the essays. The Vasa locals. God loves those guys too. And God wants them saved. Maybe it's a certain ethnical group that just kind of rubs us the wrong, or a certain social group, or an economic status, a group of people that are different from us, or maybe it's people that have different experiences from us, either good experiences or negative experiences. But may God just cause our hearts just to be humble and say, "God, you touched me and helped me to reach and touch them too." So God did a work in Jonah's heart, and may God do a work in our heart too, because God wants all people saved and right with Him. So Jonah he fled to Tarshish, according to verse 3. Tarshish, you see, was the furthest place that he could go the opposite direction. And because he did not want to go, it revealed that his heart needed to be touched by God. And you know what? God can totally use another prophet, another person to reach those Ninevites. But God knew that Jonah needed a touch from him. And God wanted him to do it. You see, Jonah knew about God's grace and God's love in his mind, but he needed that knowledge to be go down into the heart. There's something not only about loving God with all your mind, but we've got to love God with our heart too. And the fourth earmark to be a man of God is to know God's grace, not only in your mind, but also in your heart. You know, I have met some people that they could share with you the Greek word about grace. They could stand up there and say, grace. That means charis. Yes, indeed. Now, that person that can share with you the Greek in grace, my question is, let's take this a step further, and let's now be gracious to somebody. There's a difference. And a man of God is not only knows God in their intellect, but also knows God into their heart. And so, God wants us to love Him with our mind as well as in our heart. So know that God didn't need, again, Jonah, but He wanted to use Jonah. And as God used Jonah and wanted to use Jonah, God wants to use you too. And we can become like a Jonah. And may we not run in the opposite way. May we run to God. Because God wants to deliver His glorious message to other people. Because there's no other way that a person can get saved but only through Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 says that there's sheep out there without a shepherd. They need to have this message. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, how then can they call upon the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless someone is sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Aren't you grateful for that person that came alongside you and shared the truth of God with you? And you've been set free and now you're praising the Lord? Let's be ones that will go out and share the truth with other people. So the fifth mark that I see of a man of God is a person that shares the message of God with other people. Jonah had the opportunity to go and to share the message of the Lord. And may we share the message of the Lord. So Jonah thinks he could now flee from God's presence. But know this, it's impossible to flee from the presence of God. And that's what he said at the end of the verse 3. Notice at the end of verse 3. He went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, when we are doing things that we are not supposed to be doing, we get our theology backwards. And God's presence is with us. It's impossible to escape from the presence of God. Jeremiah wrote, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, can anyone hide himself in the secret places? So shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? A person cannot hide himself in the secret places. And we can't hide from God. We can't run. And God sees all things. And we can't shut the door on God. We can't say, no, I'm going to go to Mexico, man. No one's going to know there. Hey, God's in Mexico too. God's everywhere. And God's in our room. And God sees everything that we do. So let's be careful not to flirt with sin, not to watch things we're not supposed to watch on our electronic devices or whatever they may be. Oh, no, I'm not hurting anyone. No, you're a temple of the living God, the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Spirit of God. And we're not fooling the Lord. The Lord sees all things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of the Lord, and we must give an account. So may our account be a good, godly account. So notice also in verse 3, what did Jonah do? Jonah, he paid the fare and went down into it. He paid the fare. He went to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down. Know this, disobedience to God always leads downward. He went down. Disobedience to God always leads downward, and he paid a fare. Disobedience to God is always costly. It's always costly. The fare that man pays to ignore God is far more expensive than you could ever imagine. And it's not only financial, but it's also not having the peace of God. Man, a man to live life without the peace of God, to be racked with guilt and to be racked with shame, that's pretty heavy. So may we walk with the Lord and have His joy and His contentment and be in the center of His will and not be disobedient. The sixth mark to be a man of God, the sixth mark to be a man of God is when he runs to God, not away from God. So you want to be a man of God, you've got to run to Him. And when you run to Him, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Draw near to the Lord. How do we draw near to the Lord? Be in His Word. Listen to praise music and Bible studies. Fellowship with the brothers. Pray. Worship. Basic disciplines of a Christian. And let's draw near to the Lord. Now let's pick up our study in the story of Jonah and read verses 4 through 9. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he lay down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise! Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where did you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." So what we have here now is that Jonah's in the boat, heading to Tarshish, and not Nineveh. And so, he's being disobedient. God says, "All right, you want to pray?" He causes a wind to hit the sea. They're in the boat, and the boat's just going back and forth. And the brothers in the boat, man, they're freaking out. They're like, "Woo, what's going on here?" And then Jonah's in the corner, snoring away, sleeping away. And we notice in verse 4, like I mentioned, in verse 4, there's a wind, a great wind. A tempest means storm. A storm hit the sea. And these mariners, these are professional mariners, fishermen. They've been on the sea many times. But this storm was intense. In verse 5, it says at the end of verse 5, that they were afraid. They were afraid. And as they were afraid, they went to go find Jonah. And homeboy Jonah was sleeping. And you know this. When we run from God's will, we become exhausted in our mind because we are not listening to the God, we're ignoring God, and we get fatigued. And when we get fatigued, we get tired. But when you surrender your life to the Lord, there is joy because you're walking in the center of His will. So again, don't run from the will of God, run to the will of God. And God's man, Jonah, he had the power of God to give God's power and to encourage brothers that are hurting, but he wasn't available. May we always be available to hurting people. These men were afraid. They thought, "We're not going to see our families anymore. We're going to die. We have never seen this storm before. We're going back and forth and back and forth. And then we can't even see the future. This storm is intense. We've been mariners for so many years and we have never seen this before." And the man of God that can help him was sleeping. And we were snoring. May we take up the armor of God. And when we go out there and face the storms that brothers go through, and may we come alongside them and be a Barnabas to them and encourage them. I'm telling you, there's some crazy storms that are going on in brothers' lives. You have heard some of those testimonies this morning. May we be a man of God and not just be sleeping in the corner, but be alert and be awake to encourage others and to share His word with others. And that's God's call on our lives. And it's sad that a sinner had to tell a saint to cry out to God when they were in time of need. Now these fishermen, in verse 7, they want to know who this guy Jonah is. They've never seen before, because he just paid a fare. He got on the boat with everybody else. They're like, okay, we've never seen this before. Something's up with this guy named Jonah. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out who he is. So in verse 7 it says, so they said to one another, let's cast lots, and they want to find out why this happened. So they said, come, Jonah. Let us, we're going to cast lots. And many of us, we're going to find out why this trouble is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah, it says in verse 7. So they want to find out, like, why is this going down? We have never seen anything before. So I guess back then, because this was a supernatural event, that they had a means just to find out. And then when they did this lot thing, when they kind of like in the circle, it all fell on Jonah. The arrow pointed to Jonah. And I bet Jonah's all like, oh, great. Thank you, God. You just totally exposed me, man. Man, I got egg on my face now. But you see, those that the Lord loves, what does He do? He chastens. And you may think, man, the Lord loves me because He's chastening me. Yes, He does love you. Because He wants you to be that man of God. He wants you to walk in truth. And He wants you to share His truth with other people. And know that our sin not only affects us, but affects others. And Jonah's sin affected all these men on the ship. And know that our sin will ultimately find us out. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, take note, you have sinned. 23, verse 32, you have sinned and your sin will find you out. Our sin will find us out. So let's walk in the truth and let's not sin. And no, it was Jonah. Jonah knew what was happening within his life. So Jonah then shares, okay, who he is. Now notice with me verses 8 and 9. And Jonah reveals who he is. Verse 8 and 9 says, then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where did you come from? And what's your country? And of what people are you from? He's speaking to Jonah. And Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah reveals who he is, that he's a God-fearing man. And that is the seventh characteristic to be a man of God. To be a man of God, we have to be God-fearing men. To be God-fearing men. The word fear there speaks about awe. It means that we are to be people that are in awe of God. The Lord says, look at the earth. It declares my glory. Even this beautiful day this morning that the Lord has given us, the rain last night, right? And the God that just made this world, caused rain to happen, and this beautiful sun that's up, that His mercies are renewed to us. And we're in awe of God, and therefore we're in fear of God. And we are called to walk in the fear of God. And when we walk in the fear of God, we gain wisdom. If you want to be a man of wisdom, you say, man, I made a lot of poor decisions in life. I want to make wise decisions versus poor decisions. How does a person start making wise decisions? That's the question. The question is to be in awe of God. When you are in awe of God, the creator of the heavens and earth, and you follow His ways, as a result of that, you start making wise decisions because you're following the ways of the Lord. And so, the seventh mark of a man of God is to be a God-fearing man, a man that's in awe of God. Now let's conclude our time by reading verses 10 through 17, make a couple points, then we'll have a time of communion. Verses 10 through 17. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men were ordered hard to return to the land. But they could not, for the sea continued to be more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So these men, they approached Jonah, and they told Jonah, "What have you done? What have you done that this sea is so intense? This storm is crazy." And then Jonah said, "I know what needs to be done in order to cause this storm to stop. I'm the one. In order for the storm to be stopped, go ahead and just throw me into the sea. And when you throw me into the sea, then it will stop." And you know what's so sad about this? Is that Jonah tells them that he follows the Lord. He says, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a God-fearing man. I'm the one that caused this to happen. And it's sad that his testimony was tainted. And know when we are in disobedience, our testimony is tainted that we have developed for so many years. And you know, again, we can't throw a stone at Jonah. Because the question is, are we causing our testimony to be tainted? Are we doing things that's not reflecting to be a man of God? You know, are we part of some jokes that are kind of off color? Kind of, they are off color. Man, they talk about this lady, and then we talk about that lady as well. Or are we talking about the opposite sex? Or check her out, or check him out. May we keep our testimony clean. The eighth mark to be a man of God is that we keep our testimony clean. We keep our testimony clean. Now notice verse 11. These fishers men, in verse 11, they just wanted the storm to stop. They said to him, "What shall we do so this storm can cease?" And then Jonah reveals in verse 12, "Well, you guys want the storm to stop? Pick me up." So then Jonah's right there. Picture this. These men come alongside. They pick homeboy Jonah up. Then they throw Jonah in the sea. As soon as Jonah's body touches the sea, then the sea stops. And then in verse 16, that these fishermen, they start fearing the Lord and not the storm anymore. Because they realize that God is the God of the storms also, and He can cause peace to happen. So Jonah was thrown into the water, and as he was thrown into the water, then in verse 17 we are told that a big, large fish came up and swallowed up Jonah. So I learned two last things to become a man of God here. Number 9, a man of God will surrender all to God. Saying, "God, I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender." And that's what Jonah did. Jonah said, "You know what? I surrender. Just throw me in the sea. It's over. I'm done." And so may we surrender, saying, "God, you are God Almighty, and I surrender. I don't want to run from you. I want to run to you." And then number 10, the 10th mark to be a man of God is that we're going to serve the Lord. And say, "Lord, I'm here to serve you. Have your way in my life and have your way through my life. Lord, I'm your man." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these lessons that we can learn through the life of Jonah. We can learn these 10 characteristics to be a man of God. That we could be a man of God that's led by the Spirit of God. We could be a man of God that's a person of truth and shares the truth with others. We could be a man of God that's obedient to what God says. And we could be a man of God that knows the grace of God not only in our mind but also in our heart. And we could be a man of God that shares the gospel message with others. We also could be a man of God that runs to the Lord, not from the Lord. And we could be a man of God that has the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And we could be a man of God that keeps our testimony in purity. And we could be a man of God that surrenders all to the Lord. And then we could be a man of God that serves the Lord. And if you want to be a man of God this morning, you want to get right with the Lord, you want to follow Jesus, would you raise your hand? Say, "I want to be a man of God. I want to follow the Lord. Enough is enough. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life because God is worth following. Father, you've seen the hands right now of your sons, of your men. They're raising their hands to you, Lord. They're saying that they want to be a man after your own heart. So, Father, I thank you that you're faithful and you will meet the desires of their heart. And I just thank you. You can put your hands down, man. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you did this morning. And, Lord, we know one way we could be a man of God is to remember what you did for us on Calvary. And you have great love for us. And as we partake in communion, we're called us to do this in remembrance of you, what you have done for us. And as we take communion, may we just remember you. And as we remember you, Lord, we're going to serve out and represent you and be a man of God to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to have the elements passed out to you. And we're going to have a worship song from our brother. And then as we have this worship song, hold on to your communion element, and then we'll take it together as brothers. So let's worship right now. Definitely are led to the heart of God when we see the God's Son dying upon the cross for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So as you hold that element in your hand and that the cracker and the juice, when you know that you have the cracker, know that Jesus died upon the cross for you, that his body was broken for you. How those soldiers, how many times did they whip the back of Jesus? 30, how many times? 39 times they whipped him, and that whip, it just whipped him, went over in his own body, and when the soldiers pulled back, that literally flesh just went out everywhere. They said, hey, they started mocking him, hey, you're a king, you need a crown. So they put a crown on the holy face of God, they twisted it. As soon as they did that, streams of blood came off his eyebrows, his nose, his mouth, to the ground. Why? Because there's nothing that can forgive us of our sins, but nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you take that, those elements, know that Jesus loves you, and he died upon the cross for you. And may you live for him as he lived for you, and be that man of God. Let's take communion together. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we just had to remember what you went through for us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dr. Dan asked me to be done at 10. It is 10 o'clock right now. Yeah. All right. Love you, brothers. Thank you for having me out. And